Leaders are all around us at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Rodney Martin, President and CEO of the YMCA of Central Texas. Hosting the conversation is Nan Holmes. This program was recorded June 16, 2017, in the KWBU studio.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm especially happy to welcome a person from Louisiana because I'm from Louisiana.
Okay.
And you're from Shreveport, right?
No, my home is Shady Grove, Louisiana, but I went to college at Centenary College in Shreveport.
Well, Shady Grove is north, south, east or west of Shreveport?
It's close to Ruston, Groundland, mm-hmm. in that area, about 30 miles from there.
Yeah, my parents lived in Junction City, Louisiana, but I grew up in South Louisiana.
Okay.
That was when they retired. And tell us a little bit about your early life in Shady Grove.
Well, my early life, grew up in an area that didn't have, grew up in the country, basically. I have 8 brothers and 2 sisters.
Wow.
I played basketball with having a big family. I think 7 of my siblings, 7 include me, we played college basketball. So I had an opportunity to go play college basketball at Centenary College and enjoyed that opportunity. But that was my first time really getting away from home just due to not traveling much.
Were you a Methodist?
No, Baptist.
So there you were, going to a Methodist college.
That's true.
And when you were at Centenary, was those the glory years of their basketball team?
We always had good teams. Centenary was one of those colleges. It was a small college, so it was always tough getting a lot of the top athletes. So, we always had some very competitive teams. I played on television a couple of times, so that was good in our conference tournament championship. So those were some great times.
Yes, I, in another lifetime, worked in the athletic department at Northwestern State in Natchitoches.
Okay.
And Centenary was always considered an excellent school and always made room for athletics, too. They had pretty good baseball, basketball. And I think a long time ago, like in the 40s, they had a football team, but that went way back.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm a Methodist, and so that was the state school for all Methodists and
That's
really
true.
A fine university.
So when were you at Northwestern?
From 1975 until 1987.
So I'm not sure if you remember Johnny Martin, played basketball, 6'10". That was one of my brothers, played at Northwestern.
Wow. Well, my boss for a long time was Tynes Hildebrand, who was the basketball coach, and then he must have been his coach. What year did he play?
I think he ended up finishing in 70, well, I think he ended up finishing around 79, I think.
Mm-hmm. So a little bit.
Yeah.
When I went there, not long afterwards, but at that time, Coach Hildebrand would have been the basketball coach, Tynes Hildebrand. He's had many, he lives in Shreveport now. He and Julia retired from Natchitoches and moved to Shreveport.
Okay.
And I spent many summers of my youth, I'm a lot older than you are, in Shreveport. I remember the days of the trolleys in Shreveport. And then you went, when you left Shreveport and graduated from college, where did you go?
Well, I started working with the YMCA, and I always like doing our new hire orientations. I always like telling the staff a little of my history and how I found out about the Y. Growing up in a small community, we didn't have a YMCA and never heard of the Y. But while at Centenary my senior year, one of my courses talked about George Williams and his involvement with starting the YMCA, basically starting Bible studies in London, England in 1844. But then the unique thing that I learned through that process, that basketball was invented at the YMCA.
Nice.
And I learned that my senior year, playing basketball at Centenary, and that fascinated me about the Y, and didn't realize there was a YMCA in Shreveport. And as I was preparing to graduate, I saw a part-time job opening as a fitness instructor at the Y. So, it was in the classified, and apply for and ended up getting a part-time job with a college degree from Centenary. So I always tell staff, it just, you never know where you start. It just depends on your work ethic and taking a look at the opportunities and really seeing where you could be in the organization. And so that's how I first found out about the Y in Shreveport and worked there 5 years. It was a great opportunity. Started out from part-time and ended up my last year there, I was working at all three facilities doing some type program leadership.
Wow. And where did you go from Shreveport?
Went to Birmingham, Alabama. That was pretty much a lateral move. And as I tell staff also, I did some unique things there. I took a look at some of the opportunities and started some new programs. And people were hearing about things I was doing in Shreveport around the country. And I started getting pursued for different jobs. I think Birmingham, Miami, and Atlanta, those YMCAs were trying to get me to come there and, mm-hmm. and work. And eventually Birmingham was able to, you know, kind of smooth me over and get me to take a look at that opportunity. And that was my first move. And it, you know, just it got me in that opportunity. My wife was open to make that move with mm-hmm. me. So that was a blessing for our family because that gave me the opportunity to take a look at other jobs outside the Y.
Did you find it took a lot of courage to make these moves, or were you just ready to go?
It did take a lot of courage because over that 5 years, there were different Ys that pursued me at different times, and I just was afraid to make some of those moves. And even when Birmingham first, you know, when they, you know, were talking to me about that position there, you know, I talked to one of the volunteers, and because I had started some great programs at that YMCA, and I didn't want to leave those kids who were benefiting from those programs. And mm-hmm. he basically told me that, you know, someone to come in behind you. This YMCA has been in existence for a number of years, and if you leave, they'll bring somebody else in to take the job, take that program to another level. So I was excited to see that. But it was all I made several moves, and it's always tough. You know, it was easier when it was just my wife and I, but then once we had mm-hmm. kids, it made it a little tougher because you always hear about, you know, families regretting some of those moves because the kids, they have friends, and it's tough for them to leave those friends. So that's one of the reasons we stayed in Louisville for 10 years because my daughters mm-hmm. were at that age where they were building relationships, and it made it tough to just uproot them and just take them. So we made that transition at the perfect time, I think.
Well, look back on those formative years, like even before when you were in Shady Grove or you were in Shreveport, what were some of the people who exerted the most influence over you and how set that, how you began to think and do things?
Well, and that's that other thing I always communicate to staff during our new hire orientations. There are a lot of people that played an impact in my life to get me to where I am. If it was that, you know, starting from Miss Bradford, who was that teacher in the fifth grade who, you know, during the parent-teacher orientation, told my mom that I was a smart kid and I could do better. And once my mom communicated that, it changed my life, you know, academically, and I started focusing more. Or, you know, if it was that coach, I didn't have a father. My father was murdered when I was five. So growing up, not having a father figure, having that coach or my older brothers play that role. And I've always, throughout my life, I've always tried to go back and thank those people, even during a time when my coach wasn't, you know, when he was getting ill. And, you know, I always, whenever I went home, I always went by to say hello and thank him for everything he had done for me. Because I, you know, he gave a lot of advice, but as a child, you know, you don't listen. Or you, But in some way, you know, I was listening because all those things that he was saying and the advice that he was giving me as well as other students, that those type things, that was reality as I got older and got into different situations and made some great decisions. And I always think my mom was, you know, she's my role model, mm-hmm. you know, just being, you know, she's a hero to me, just seeing all the things that she gave up to make sure that her kids had the different things. And it was not always easy. You know, it's amazing when I talk to staff or when I talk to kids, they always say, well, you were one of those kids that, you know, grew up with a silver spoon and you always had everything you wanted. But I always communicate. It wasn't always easy, but I was surrounded around great people that really took a lot of emphasis in making sure that I was on the right track. And it wasn't just me, but other youth, but, you know, I really took advantage of those things and listened.
You know, that is amazing. She had 10 children.
11.
Just 11,
yeah.
And that's right.
Yeah.
And then just to put food on the table.
Yeah. That's true.
To prepare, you know, even though she might have had helpers.
Yeah.
She must have been a very strong woman. And that your coach, many times a coach is much more than just a coach.
Yeah.
And you don't realize that, as you say, until you get older.
And that's one of the things I always tell staff. My chore as a child was to feed the pig. That was my chore. I made 25 cents each day I did that, but that was something I enjoyed. We also worked in the field and did those type things. So we grew a lot of our own food, and mm-hmm. you know, and we received different state subsidies. So she qualified with those type things for the family. So those were the type things that really helped us.
Well, how did you go to Springfield, Massachusetts? That's a long way. Did you go physically move to go to Springfield College?
No. For my master's, so after I graduated from Centenary and working with the Y a number of years, the YMCA, so as I mentioned, James Naismith, who invented basketball, worked for the YMCA International Training School, which was in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Oh.
So in the 50s, that training institute turned into Springfield College. So the YMCA has a great relationship with Springfield College, and there's an executive master's program that I was able to participate in while I was in Louisville. So we had to do 4 residencies and throughout a total of 2 years. So I did, you know, a 2-week residency in Springfield, mm-hmm. which was a great opportunity. I tell staff, doing that residency, I was training for a half marathon at that point, so I ran by the location where basketball was invented, and they've torn it down, and now it's McDonald's on that location. Not to promote McDonald's, but there was a McDonald's on that location, which was really shocking to me because, you know, basketball, you know, I would not be where I am today if it weren't having that opportunity going in the backyard and nailing that tire rim, you know, bicycle rim on a tree and shooting basketball with it.
Well, is it true that it was a peach basket?
Yes, that's true.
That is true.
Yes, that's true.
Well, if you're just joining us, this is KWBU Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Nan Holmes talking today with Rodney Martin, President CEO of the YMCA of Central Texas. So you've had about 20 years of experience. You've been in the business, 28.
Yes.
And about 20 of that, how many years of that would you say you've been in leadership capacity?
It's been over 20 years. And, you know, I've always, even when I first started working with the Y, I think I may have worked 1 year just full time and then became a director.
Mm-hmm.
But this is my third CEO opportunity. I was the CEO of the YMCA Central Alexandria, and then the Beaumont YMCA as well. But I was the district exec in Louisville, which Louisville was a great opportunity, working under a great CEO that had some great practices in place. That was probably by far through my career one of the best opportunities for me, because always having that opportunity of meeting with the CEO, learning how to run an organization, because with me going there, I was one of the people that in a leadership role, so I met with the CEO on a regular basis and could always talk to him about philosophies, and if there were ever opportunities, I looked at, listen to feedback on if that was a great opportunity for me or not. But when I was taking a look at this opportunity here in Central Texas, you know, I sat with him prior to that, and he felt this was a great opportunity. You know, he felt this was an ideal opportunity for me with some of the things that were happening with the Y, and it did turn out to be.
And what would you say over these years has been maybe more than one really big changes in the organization of the Y?
With the YMCA of Central Texas?
Well, just in the organization.
Well, with the organization, you know, we just went through this branding identity process, you know, in which people really, you know, so many people just look at the YMCA as a swimming gym. And I think that was one of the challenges here in Central Texas as well. People just see the Y as just a place to go work out or swim or go shoot basketball. But we do so much more than that. We really try to put a lot more emphasis on some of the youth programs we do. We have great, you know, currently we're doing some great summer day camp programs at five locations. We even out at West with one of those programs, and then Parkdale Elementary, and then we have sites at the Waco Family, Doris Miller, and then the Edna Centers. And then, you know, with the swim lessons, we do a great job. I mean, we're at capacity this year with our swim lessons program, and we're also doing some safety around water programs, and we're partnering this summer at the Doris Miller Y with the Boys and Girls Club. We're making sure that the youth that go to the Boys and Girls Club, that they have an opportunity to do the safety around water program. And James has been phenomenal in working with us in that, because, you know, we have pools and they don't have a pool. So, you know, it would be a shame for those kids not to get that experience, as well as we're working with the Freedom Schools and giving those youth, 50 youth in that program at Alta Vista, an opportunity to come to the Y and take safety around water. We're making sure that our summer day camp kids get to swim and take the safety around water. And we've just had this opportunity. You know, we thank the Cooper Foundation for providing us funds to help sponsor those safety around water programs that we're able to do for youth in the low-income communities.
You know, the great Joe Delaney, I don't know if you know his story.
Yes.
He drowned trying to save three children at a water park in Monroe, Louisiana. He had been a rookie.
Yes.
He played at Northwestern. And I always think about water safety, that is super important for every child that you are teaching to not be afraid of the water, conduct themselves in the water. You could be saving their life.
Yes, that's true. It's very important. We've had some tragedies in the community that, you know, that we're hoping in the future that we can help educate and communicate to the community about safety around water, you know, even on the you know, open water areas, you
mm-hmm.
know, never, you know, never jumping in head first. I always jump in foot first, feet first, because you just never know what's below the water. Always having a vest on if you can't swim. Even if you're in open water, you know, if the rules apply to have an open, you know, have a vest on, you know, follow the rules. And those are the type of things we teach in, you know, when we teach our swim lessons, we teach those type skills.
I think that's wonderful. Well, I want you to talk a little bit about your own, you've created your own strategic plan, your Vision 2022, which sounds like great eye vision.
Yes. Yes, we're very excited about this. While I was in Louisville, and as I mentioned, that was a great YMCA to work with. But while I was there, they did this strategic excitement, in which I served on the leadership team to help pull that together after we had gotten input from 500 people in the community. And so once I came here, we, you know, it was time for us to have a strategic plan. So we also did a strategic excitement session where we did six town hall meetings. We hired the same consultant that did the strategic plan for Louisville-wide. So he agreed to come here and work with us, because he was impressed. Even, you know, in Louisville, my location there was one of the locations that had some of the larger number of people to participate. So he wasn't sure how many people we could get here. He knew Waco wasn't a very big community, nowhere near the size of Louisville. So, you know, he was telling us that he would be happy just to get 40 or 50 people out to participate. So we were very blessed and fortunate to have 158 people participate in our strategic planning process in our town halls. And we had a steering committee, a strategic excitement committee to focus on, take a look at the results. And then we worked together to fine tune and see what were some of the priorities. But with this, we came up with four priorities through this whole process. One of them is, you know, the YMCA impacting the community by improving programs and opportunities to improve wellness in our city. And then one of those others is to improve academic achievement for children served in YMCA program services during our out-of-school time. And also preparing teens for lifetime success by providing exposure, support, and guidance so they learn, grow, and thrive. And then that last one being to improve our reach by expanding our footprint of services and programs and facilities to underserved communities in our locality. But we work with Prosper Waco through this whole process. You know, even Matthew Polk attended one of the sessions.
Yeah.
But some of his staff came out. So we were very fortunate to have a good number of people to come out and give us input. And it wasn't, you know, there were some great stakeholders, but we also had members, parents, some staff. So we had a good, diverse group of people to give us feedback. But, you know, in that area of community health, we really want to focus on making our community healthy. You know, obesity is a challenge here in, you know, not only here in Waco, but nationally. So we want to do as much as we can to help alleviate those problems and through some of the programs we offer. And we do some evidence-based programs to help chronic disease, you know, so focusing on those and uplifting, especially, you know, with the diabetes prevention and youth that are overweight. We have our men program that's going on at this time, and that's a program for overweight youth and really teaching the family how to prepare meals and how to keep active together. Wow. As a family.
Well, I think that is great. My precious grandson works for the after-school program at Robinson. He's okay. A senior, and this summer he's lifeguarding in Robinson. But I noticed there is a lot of training there.
Yes.
That is wonderful, because I'm sure he's just like you were once upon a time. He has benefited greatly by these meetings and these trainings about what to do in situations.
Yes, and Lisa Duran, mm-hmm. who's our Vice President of Youth Development, she does a great job working with staff and making sure we have a great curriculum. And that's one of those areas we're always trying to improve. So we have some aggressive goals coming up in the future where we're focused on making sure the staff are on different tracks, even new staff understand what their roles are and can be effective in their jobs, as well as staff that have been there for an extended period of time, and make sure that if they see opportunities that they want to be able to move up, that we prepare them for that opportunity. But there may be some that just say they want to continue to do what they are, but we want to make sure that they're efficient in their jobs.
Yeah, I think that's great, because that plugs in, I think, into the academic achievement.
Yes.
Where they're not just babysitting kids, they're trying to enrich.
Yeah.
And also they learn lots of skills about what to do about kids fighting, misbehaving, being rude.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that serves you so well if someone will just take the time to train you about some proven practices that are
yes.
good. And what do you do? I want to ask you one question about when you have a national organization and you have a local chapter, or however you define it, what happens when you're the leader but you're not so much in agreement with the national, if they bring something down to you? How do you handle that?
Well, we have certain membership standards that we must meet in order to continue to keep the Y logo on our buildings. So we have to follow those standards. And there are certain criteria we have to meet. But then there are a lot of times we function in the, you know, independent. We are a part of our national organization, but we provide programs that meet the needs of our community.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be some programs that are offered through our national office that may not meet the needs here, because one of the things I've learned working at different YMCAs, and whenever I'm traveling, I'm always going by and touring YMCAs. One of the things I've always notice there are no two YMCAs the same,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there because no two communities are the same. Even here in Waco, you know, our YMCAs, the three facilities we have, they all meet different needs, but they're meeting the needs of those communities. And we're always open to get input to find out and, you know, from others what other things we could be doing better. And, you know, even if there are volunteers that have an interest in helping. Just currently, we have one of our members who's a chess player, and he's, you know, would love to volunteer and teach youth and others to play chess. So we're about to start having chess at both of our facilities, at YMCAs, just to offer to youth and for adults.
So you have the facility on Harvey. I know the Doris Miller. Is there another facility?
The Edna Learning Center.
Where is that located?
It's off Edna. It's off Edna, 29th and Edna.
Oh, okay. Well, that is something. I mean, you're looking beyond the community health. You're preparing teens for success and improving your reach and looking for the academic achievement. You're hitting quite a few things with that center. And what is your advice for a young person who's seeking a leadership position with a national organization? I think you've pretty well articulated that, and then you started part-time and you just moved up. Any other thoughts about that for a young person who's thinking about maybe joining a nonprofit like the Y?
You know, I always give advice during our orientations, just tell them to be creative, take a look at what's happening and see where they fit in. But I always tell them, research the organization prior to going in.
Yes.
Because I tell them one of the challenges that happen, people, they go to a job and realize it's not the place they should be, and they leave. And I told them that's one of the first things we look at is history. So if they're jumping between jobs, that looks negative on their resumes. But, you know, researching those organizations, researching who they're going to be working with, but also making sure there's some place where they can use their talents.
And I'm sure you are a very good example of just being available. You started part-time, and there you were. And that a lot of organizations, I think, do that. They look around for the pool of people they have who are in those positions first. Would you agree?
Yes, that's true. And, you know, I'm always taking, as I'm walking around the facilities, seeing staff, I'm looking for staff that's doing creative things and doing things outside the box, but also that kids are enjoying working with.
Yeah, that sounds like a good thing. And I think that it is very, very important that when you have an organization like the Y, it is not only just, as you say, it's not a building, it's not just, you know, you either go to the Doris Miller or your education facility. It's much more something that is an identity in the community. People are looking to see what it is you're going to be, how you're going to be involved with them.
Yeah, that's true, and that's the great thing, and we're doing some great things. Even at the Doris Miller Y, I saw a need there to get more activities going on. We've hired a great director at the Doris Miller Y, Melvin Carter, and Javier Urias, who's at the Waco Family Y. So bringing some great leadership in, and Melvin has a background of working with the 27 years with the Boys and Girls Club. So he brings a rich history of working with teens and young people, and that was what was needed. So currently we're doing this, the Rappaport Foundation provided some resources to provide memberships for teenagers at the Doris Miller Y in their community. So we currently have over 200 youth that have signed up for this initiative that are teens. And it's neat going to that YMCA on a daily basis and seeing kids, teenagers, in constructive activities, you know, from it being our digital technology program, doing our, you know, fitness orientation or taking swim lessons, playing basketball, or having a speaker there. So that's been exciting to see those constructive things. And we hired a young man to come in who's leading that program as well. But it's just neat seeing kids in something productive.
Well, listen, Rodney Martin, thank you. It's been such a pleasure to talk with you today, and I appreciate your time. And good luck. Just keep working hard.
No, thank you. I appreciate this opportunity. Looking forward to seeing everyone at the Y.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This conversation was recorded June 16, 2017, in the KWBU studio. This and past episodes of the Central Texas Leadership Series can be found online at kwbu.org under the Programs tab.